This is the Love Your Mom Life podcast, where we get real about getting out of your motherhood rut and creating a mom life you love. I'm your host, Nikki Oden, and I know a lot about what it's like to not love your mom life. Being a mom is hard, and being a mom with goals and dreams is even harder. Over the years, I've spent a whole lot of time on the hot mess express trying to harmonize motherhood with everything else I want out of life. But eventually, I figured it out, sort of. You can create a mom life you absolutely love. So come on, let's do this thing together. Before we dive in, this is my cute little reminder to please hit that subscribe button. Be sure to follow us on social, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And of course, be sure to visit the blog at youridealmomlife.com for real life solutions to help you take back your time and love your mom life again. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Love Your Mom Life podcast. Today, we're going to be diving into a topic that so many moms who work struggle with, and that is, why does this working mom life have to be so hard? Is the life I've created one that I dread because of my job? As a former lawyer, today's guest has battled all of these questions and more and is here to chat with us about why the secret to success is not what you've been told all along, and to remind you that you are worthy, deserving, and capable of a life and career that leaves you feeling happy, fulfilled, and successful. Before we meet her, here's my quick reminder that some of the best ways to support this show are to, one, make sure you're officially subscribed or following. So go ahead, take a second to hit that plus or checkmark button in your podcast app. And two, leave a rating and a review. The more reviews this show has, the more easily it's found by moms like you, and the more moms' lives we can change. And if you like this episode, share it with a mom you love. We're all about moms supporting moms here at the Love Your Mom Life podcast. And the stuff we're talking about today needs to be heard by other mamas. Also, want to be friends? Well, all you have to do is follow me on Instagram. My handle is really easy to remember. It's my name, Nikki Oden. And I personally manage that account. So I see every single like, comment, and DM. So go follow me and let's connect. Last but not least, did you grab a copy of But Definitely Wear Mascara yet? It has tons of 5-star reviews and could be exactly what you need right now in your motherhood journey. The link to get your copy is in the show notes, along with a link to download a free chapter if you just want to get a sneak peek first. And with all that said, let's meet our guest. Today's guest is a former lawyer, wife, mom, and life coach. After 7 years of practicing law, she decided to leave the legal profession and is now on a mission to empower women in the law to build a life they cannot wait to wake up for. As one of the top coaches in the Dallas area, today's guest focuses on dismantling the toxic narratives that are keeping women overwhelmed by trying to do it all. She's the host of the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast and has been featured in publications like Goss Magazine, Voyage Dallas, and Influence Digest. A South Carolina native, today's guest currently lives outside of Dallas, Texas with her family. Connect with her on Instagram or LinkedIn at Erin Gerner or on her website, erin.com. I'm so excited she's here. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you because I can totally relate to your story and how you got from where you were before to where you are now. But for those who are listening who were never a burnt out lawyer, why don't you just share a little bit about your journey and what brought you to this point?
Yes, absolutely. So, okay, my goodness, let's dial it back, shall we? Okay, so I went to law school right out of college, and what I have found through telling this story many times is I always thought that was like, you know, I went right out of college not really knowing what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like I was the ever popular international studies major, right? Like right. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so law school seemed like a great plan. People had told me to go to law school. I didn't have any lawyers in my family, but they were like, you're smart. You like to argue, you know, all of these stories that we hear. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a great plan. Now I've got 3 more years to decide what I want to do. And I used to get so embarrassed telling that story, but now I know that that is not an unfamiliar story. There's like 2 camps of people who always knew they were going to be lawyers and the other camp that just kind of somehow ended up there. And then here we were.
Yep.
So went to law school and I actually loved law school, graduated in the top 10%, you know, did all the things, checked all the boxes like I was supposed to, went to big law and arrived there and was very quickly greeted with the reality of what I had signed up for, because obviously we know that they don't prepare you to practice law in law school. And so I was there drinking from the fire hose. I had no mentor, no support, no community. You know, I'm a young woman in, you know, this huge firm, and it was debilitating. I was on anxiety medicine for the first time in my life. I was getting sick on a regular basis, going to work, like literally throwing up before I'd go to the office. I think back about that time and I just, it's crazy. But again, I didn't know any different. Like, right, I am in this position thinking that this is just the way it is because I'm a fancy lawyer. I'm this prestigious lawyer. Right. I got my degree. I passed the bar. I'm at big law. Like, what do I have to complain about? The people on the outside are going, what?
Right. We'd kill for that job.
Lawyer with a big fancy job, exactly, and a big fancy paycheck. Mm-hmm. Like, what is wrong with you? So I left big law, went in house, you know, with this narrative that it's going to be more flexible. And many times that does work out. In my situation, that was the exact opposite of what was happening. This was also before COVID. So work from home was not even a thing. Chair time was all the time. And I couldn't work from home in that job at all. And I had also become a mom in that job. So my daughter was about 2, still working that job, could not work from home, could not go to doctor's appointments. It was a completely male-dominated office. I mean, it was wild. It was in the oil and gas industry in Texas. So there was a lot of testosterone going on in the office. And I ended up walking away, very just disheartened from the law, thinking that I couldn't cut it. Yeah. That I was like, I can't do this,
right,
because there's no flexibility. I really value my time with my daughter as a mom. And I didn't know how to reconcile those 2 things. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a community. I didn't know there was a different and better way. I didn't know that there were people in the legal profession who were actually making this work for them, or at least had advice on how to navigate and support those situations. So I left to go stay home thinking that, like, okay, well, this is it. Like, I'll just sweep that under the rug. And now I'm going to go home and be a mom. And that's going to fix everything. I'm going to feel so much better and so much more fulfilled or whatever. And that is obviously,
I know, I'm laughing because like,
I know,
yep, I've been there.
I know we all have, you know, you're going through this at the time, but you're thinking that something's wrong with you.
I know.
The whole time you're thinking something's wrong with you because, okay, I just left this job. Isn't that wonderful now that I get to stay home? So many moms want to get to stay home, mm-hmm, but here I am at home feeling incredibly unfulfilled,
yep,
and also trying to reconcile who the heck I was outside of being a lawyer.
Yes.
Right? Like, who am I? I had tied so much of my identity into this profession, into my job, that I didn't know who I was outside of being a lawyer. And then was telling myself the stories of, you're not good enough. You weren't a good enough lawyer. You just quit. You couldn't hack it. Lies. It wasn't until I actually went back to work part-time law. It was just time and financially that needed to happen after my second daughter was born. Mm-hmm. And I was still thinking, oh my gosh, like this is not my destiny. But I had no idea what to do. Serendipitously, here comes a social selling opportunity, something I had never, ever, ever done in my life. And I will forever be so grateful to social selling, to affiliate marketing, because what it does is it gives you a platform to not only dip your toe into entrepreneurship, yeah, but it also allows you to lean into your gifts and talents, into your superpowers, while you lead and you help other people lead and grow while you're building a business and then instilling the confidence in others to do the same. And so that was the first introduction I ever had to coaching, to personal development, what a limiting belief was.
Right.
how all of these stories were actually BS and not mine. And these were narratives perpetuated by society, by the law, by my parents, by, you know, all of these things. And once I was able to see that clearly and then worked with a coach myself who also happened to be a lawyer, the light bulb went off that I was like, oh my gosh, wait a second. I actually have a skill set that can help women in the same way that it helped me, knowing that I needed this exact same support in my time in the law. And Erin Gruner Coaching was born. It was, I like to say, I take messy action all the time as a recovering perfectionist. It's very hard to take messy action, but I have learned that that is where the growth and that is where the magic happens. And I kept running into recovering attorneys or women in the law who were so overwhelmed and burned out trying to do it all. And they were just magnetically coming to me. And you can't argue with that, right? Like that is evidence that people needed me just as much as I needed them, honestly. And so that's where we are. Launched my, you know, my coaching program. I'm having in-person retreats and launched a podcast. And it has honestly just been the greatest blessing to be able to use my time in the law and those lessons and then all of the education I've gotten as a coach to be able to empower other women in the law to know that there's a different and better way. And change in your life isn't this huge sweeping, you know, pack up all your stuff and like move to Bali for a month and just like do an eat, pray, love. It's not that. It's just simple, small habit and mindset changes over time consistently that actually can change your life, right? It's just those mindset shifts. And once that starts to happen, like the whole world opens up.
How often do you say to yourself, I love my mom life? A lot, hopefully. But if sometimes you sort of feel like motherhood is one long ride on the Hot Mess Express, you're not alone. As a mom, you have the best intentions of getting your to-do list, your goals, and, you know, your life in order. And sometimes you kind of do. But then a small human asks you repeatedly for a snack and you completely lose track of what you are doing. Sound familiar? Our mission at Your Ideal Mom Life is to help moms take back their time and get more of what they want. And we have a fun and simple and free way to help you make that happen. It's called the Mom Life Challenge. During this challenge, you'll learn how to create a mom life you absolutely love. In 3 days, you'll jumpstart the habits you need to organize your life and your schedule. Translation, less mom fails, more winning. And did I mention it's free? Visit us at youridealmomlife.com/momlifechallenge and join thousands of other moms who are taking back their time and loving their mom life again. Y'all, Erin is the Southern blonde version of me. Like, hearing all of this, I have such a similar story with being in big law, graduating first in my class and thinking, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what my parents said I was supposed to do. This is success as everyone in law school defined it. Like, there were people in law school who would write WWND before like a test to like pump themselves up. What would Nikki do? Cause like, I was like the smart girl and everyone thought it was like amazing that I got this big law job. And then I'm secretly sitting at my desk, hating it every day. And then, you know, really getting so excited about getting pregnant. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to quit this thing. Peace out, big law. And going to be the best stay at home mom ever. How hard can it be? And then being like, oh my gosh, I really don't like this. Like, I'm not happy and I have nothing that's mine outside of being mommy and wife. Who am I? Obviously, the lawyer thing didn't work out. So now what do I do? And then along comes a social selling opportunity. And that's exactly how I got into what I'm doing now, which is coaching other moms to lean into their gifts and their talents. Because you know what? We all have them. And this is how Erin and I discovered ours. We happened to discover ours through a social selling opportunity. But even if you don't stumble upon that opportunity, you do have a skill set. You do have gifts and talents that this world needs. And maybe you're not using them right now. Like, maybe you're in a situation or in a job or career that isn't serving you or where you're not able to highlight those parts of yourselves. But you could. You could if you were intentional about it and you had some coaching and some community. So I love this, Erin. This is awesome.
Yes. You just know what's possible. Putting yourself in a situation that you wouldn't normally be in and maybe getting uncomfortable or using, you know, the left side of our brain that we don't use as often as lawyers and getting creative and getting quiet and getting still mm-hmm. and actually thinking about what brings you joy. What do you like to do? Like, what do you think is fun? What's something you've done in the last 6 months or 12 months that like brought you so much happiness? Just start there. Like, you don't have to know the next best plan. Mm-hmm. It's just being okay with leaning in and just trying and see where it takes you. I think lawyers like to have the exact plan. And that if we're going to do something different, we have to have the exact next plan. And it has to be perfect and lined out and all the details and the spreadsheet and all the things. But it's really just about taking that next step to lean in and asking yourself the questions like, what if this? Why do I like this? What if I tried this? And it doesn't have to be the next best thing. You just have to start moving and start trying and allowing yourself to think differently outside the box.
Yeah. And I think this is where the perfectionism really has to take a backseat. Like, peace out with the perfectionism. I'm the same way. I call myself a recovering perfectionist. And obviously, perfectionism has its place in certain things. You and I wouldn't have graduated the top of our classes if we weren't perfectionists. However, it's also held us back from enjoying life to the fullest, from taking those leaps, from giving ourselves experiences that we deserve to have. It's robbed us of living life joyfully. So once we realize that, and we realize that, you know what, that whole like perfectionist thing isn't all that awesome all the time, it really opens up a whole new world, like you were saying. So I think for lawyers and for women in general, women tend to be risk averse and we want things to work out just so. So you have to let go of that when you're trying to find your best life, when you're trying to figure out how to make this career and motherhood thing work the best it can for you. You have to let go of that perfectionism thing. And I love that idea. First of all, everyone on this podcast who listens to this podcast knows that I love small, simple changes that compound over time. Everyone who's listening is like, yep, I knew she was going to seize on that one because she loves that, because it's true. And so I love the idea of starting with, what do you love to do? Just sit down and give yourself a moment. So what do you say to some moms who haven't given themselves permission to really think about what they love to do? How do we get their creative juices flowing?
And I do. I ask them that question. I actually asked my client this exact question the other day because she said exactly what you said. Erin, I don't even know what I'm passionate about. I don't even know what I like to do. Like, I haven't even thought about this. But you do know.
Yep.
You just haven't asked yourself that question or allowed yourself the permission slip to actually like think about it and not judge it, think it's silly, you don't have time for it, you know, blah, blah, you know, all of the lies right. And the stories that then come along after the thought. And so questions are the best thing you can do is ask yourself questions and keep asking them like, why? But why? You know, when you think about your toddler and you're like, mommy, why? Mommy, why? Mommy, why? And you want to be like, please stop asking me all the questions. But in reality, that does get you to the greater issue. And it just needs to start with getting still. If you're driving home today, turn off the radio. Turn it off. Just turn it off. Drive. Listen to your thoughts. Don't judge them. Don't do anything. You can't listen to your intuition. You can't listen to anything that your thoughts are trying to tell you if you're so busy and there's so much noise in the background. It's like driving with a passenger in the car and trying to talk, but the music's too loud and you can't quite hear what they're saying and you need them to turn it down. You've got to turn down the music and just think about, what is the last thing you did in the last 6 months to a year where you had so much fun? And I asked her that. She was like, oh my gosh, I was riding my horses like 2 weeks ago. Great. Go ride your horses once a week. Can you commit and put it on your calendar to go out to the barn, ride your horses, do all the stuff that therapeutically feels good to you and just start doing there. Just start there.
So I like that idea of fitting in something you love on a regular basis. And not putting the pressure on yourself that this thing that you love also has to make you money. Because that's I think, where I would go next. Because again, trying to find a solution, trying to find the next best plan. If I don't enjoy doing X, but I do enjoy doing Y, how do I make money and not want to kill someone? So I guess the first step is
we know what our superpowers are deep down. Mm-hmm. We haven't actually recognized them. I always tell people your superpower is what people come to you and ask you for all the time. What people are always coming to you like, Aaron, can you do this? Or Aaron, you know what I mean? Like the things that you're constantly talking to people about where you're like, my God, do people really not know that? Like that just seems like common sense. Those are your superpowers, right? That is what you're really, really great at. And so starting to lean into what those are and thinking about what that could be, but you can't think about that kind of stuff unless you slow your mind down first enough to give you the space to think at all.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I totally agree with the being still part. And a lot of times I find there has to be a sort of like harmony between listening to your thoughts and just being your senses, because sometimes your thoughts are the lies, you know, and we don't want to be listening to that.
Oftentimes they are, which is why I'm like, they're just information. Like most of that stuff is not true, but what are they telling you? It's information. Yeah. Like, what are you scared of? What are you worried about?
Exactly.
Maybe that is the information from what is stopping you from doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's such a great way to look at it. It's information. Like, what am I afraid of? What's holding me back? And it's this fear that I'm not good enough or that I can't cut it. I can't hack it because of all this past, you know, evidence I have that's telling me I'm not good enough and that I can't hack it. So how do we get over that mindset? What's the first step there in shifting the narrative and telling ourselves a new story?
Well, I think it's just being consistent telling that story. I also think we have to talk to, you know, the tiny version of ourselves, talk to our inner child, because that fear comes from the smaller versions of ourselves that don't think we're good enough. So like in those times where we are paralyzed with fear, do not know what is next, so overwhelmed, think we can't or not worthy, what is that version of ourselves really need to hear? What is the reality? Like, really, what's the reality? Like, understand that you are feeling X, Y, and Z, but big Aaron has this right now. You are smart. You are capable. You have done hard things. You can do this. And you just have to learn how to coach yourself. That really is the key, is learning how to coach yourself through those thoughts and taking and keeping the ones that are serving us and reframing the ones that are not, but also giving yourself compassion and grace to know that you're not going to do it perfectly every time.
Right. So when you're coaching your clients, is the end goal to make the work part of their lives more tolerable, or is it to find a new profession or career altogether?
I think it's either. I was talking to my last client the other day, and she doesn't necessarily want to leave her big law job, but the key is actually trying to make that job work for her first before she makes a decision. A lot of people are decision hopping or job moving because they think that if they just remove that friction in that job and move to somewhere else, then that friction will no longer be there. But the problem is you don't know what your values and priorities are. You don't know like what the type of environment that's going to be, you know, the most conducive for you to learn and grow professionally. You have to do that work first on yourself and figure out what you want, who you are, how to form boundaries, how to put yourself first, these small, simple changes. And then in that new mindset, can you decide like, is this something that I see myself doing 3 years from now, 5 years from now, or do I not feel like this is aligned and we need to start exploring what else is out there?
I love the baby steps of that. And again, it goes back to those small, simple changes and taking one little step. So the one little step here is getting in the right mind, which doesn't have to be earth shattering. That's really not scary at all. Like nothing outwardly has to change. Like you're not quitting your job. You're not moving. All that stuff is super scary. You're just practicing new thoughts. I love that.
Yep. And getting very clear on what you want, where you're going, instilling that belief of it's possible, right? Knowing that the outcome is already going to happen and not getting caught in the how, and trusting mm-hmm. in faith that if you show up and take aligned action just a little bit every single day, that you are going to keep moving towards the finish line, keeping in mind that the finish line can move. That's the other thing. I think of today, like, I actually recorded a podcast myself on this on my 43rd birthday, because I'm thinking, like, we all go back, like, oh, what was it happen in a year from now? Like, let's look back in a year. And we tend to live in the past a lot. That didn't happen. I didn't accomplish this. I thought this would be a certain way by now. Not with the mindset of the finish line is constantly moving. You are moving with the finish line. You are still taking the aligned action and the inspired action that's going to get you there. We have to reconcile what we think it should be and how we think it's going to turn out, and trust and know that it is working out for us, yes. even though we cannot understand the timeline.
Yes, it is exactly working out for us because of that aligned action. So what does aligned action tend to look like in your world?
Aligned action tends to look like, and it's really client specific. A lot of women come to me and they are straight up so overwhelmed, they cannot even see straight. And so what we always start with: values, priorities, all that kind of stuff, getting clear what you want. We break it down financially, spiritually, career, relationships. Like, what do you want? That is a 10 out of 10. What does that look like? What does that feel like? That kind of stuff. And then from there, you can really start to pull out those core values, those words, those common themes of things that you really want, getting clear on that. But what does aligned action look like? A lot of times we really start with a brain dump of your to-do list.
Yes, I love it.
It sounds incredibly simple, and it is, but it is so impactful. To just, overwhelm lives in our mind. Mm-hmm. It circles in our mind like a hamster on a wheel. We keep adding more things in there, and so that it just becomes on and on and on. And then that's the anxiety of feeling, I have to do it all right now, because you don't know what to do first or what's the priority. So getting everything down on paper, just literally brain dumping it. One of my clients was like, mine was 6 pages. I was like,
good.
Well,
yeah, get it out.
Good. Because what that does is two things. It shows your brain that it is completely impossible for one human being to accomplish any of those things in a day, in a month, in a lifetime. And the second thing it does, it's now on paper, and you can see, like, okay, what are some of these things that I can eliminate? What can I delegate? What can I get rid of? What on this list is truly a priority for me right now in the season of life that I am in the season of life? Life is seasons. Yeah. Weeks are seasons. A day can be a season, a month can be a season, but leaning into that season and accepting where you are, knowing that everything is temporary, just because things seem out of balance, quote unquote, right now, doesn't mean they will always be that way. It is putting yourself and taking these items that you need to get done and start taking action. That alleviates the overwhelm every single time. It's just starting to move and to do things. And a lot of times you just need to do the first thing that alleviates friction. It may not even be the most important thing. It may just be like, oh, I just told my housekeeper, can she come twice next month? Done. I've been wanting to ask her that for a month. Like, that's so simple, but you literally did something.
Yeah.
So now your brain has evidence to keep moving.
Mm-hmm. It's like getting the monkey off your back. It just feels so good.
Yes. That's, to me, that's inspired action. That is taking action no matter how small, and just keep moving forward.
I totally agree with that. The mental dump is something that I tell all the moms I work with to do first. And everybody always says, it feels so good just to get it out.
It's cathartic.
It is.
It is so cathartic. I tell all attorneys that they need to journal. Mm-hmm. We have got so much in our head that just goes on and on and on, just information and clients and job. And oh, by the way, you're a mom and got kids and groceries and sports and gas and laundry. And I mean, my God.
Maybe a husband.
You know, like, journaling is so, and I don't even do it like regularly, right? Like I don't have this regimen and this whole like structure, but when I am feeling particularly overwhelmed or I feel like I need to work through a certain situation, I just start writing. Because once you get it on the paper, it just gets it out of you. And then you can, I mean, if it's all like crap, you just take that thing out and you rip it up and you put it in the trash can and it's gone. Those thoughts are gone. You wrote them out and they're now like poof.
Yeah. It's also a great way to reflect. Because you can, I sometimes go back and read it and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm proud of the way I worked through that. I don't feel that way at all anymore. And yes, see, I can get through these things and this too shall pass. And it's a more evidence for me that I have those muscles. So I totally agree. I love journaling, obviously, as an author. I love to write. So I couldn't agree with you more. So how can people work with you if there are some lawyers on the line, if there are some lawyers listening who are like, yes, I need this. How do they start?
Yes. So you can hop on over to my website, erin.gerner.com, and book a breakthrough call with me and see if coaching is something that is a fit for your life. And if nothing else, I'm so excited to just meet you, hear a little bit more about you, your career, where you are, and hopefully just you can take one nugget, glean one nugget that you can take away for your day, for your life. You can also tune in to my podcast, Powerhouse Lawyers, and find me on social media at Erin Gerner. And yeah, join the Powerhouse Lawyers community. I also host live retreats several times a year, gathering women in the law together to help us not only scale our businesses, but enrich our lives. And I just think community is so important for women in the law, just to be able to lift each other up in a way that is not competitive, that's not self-serving, that is just there to know that we're better together. Because like you said, every single one of us has a superpower, and all of those superpowers together is what creates massive change in the legal profession.
Amen. So we'll definitely put that link in the show notes so it's an easy one click for our listeners. And Erin, this was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story. It's so inspiring. And you know what? It's encouraging and it feels good to know that we're not alone.
Yep. That's it. There's nothing wrong with us. You're not alone. And it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to pivot. It's okay to want something different. It's okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you.
Well, thank you for that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. Thanks for being here, Erin.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, that wraps up our conversation with Erin Gerner. I know you took a ton of value from it, whether you're a lawyer or not. We'll see you next time on the Love Your Mom Life podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you took something of value from it. If you liked this episode, please share it with someone you love. And it would mean the world if you would leave a rating or a review. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Your Ideal Mom Life on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I can't wait to be with you in the next episode of the Love Your Mom Life podcast.